we discussed last week?
We did one verse, right? 29. So much we discussed. Let's see how many points we remember. Text number 23rd chapter, text number 29. So what is that verse about? What is Krishna talking about in this verse? What's the connection between the verses? You don't make note of connections? So earlier 27 and 28, Krishna was talking about attached and detached worker, right? And the difference between both of them is that knowledge, right? One has knowledge, other has doesn't have knowledge. And one who has knowledge, what happens is it's given in text number 28. Like, he doesn't engage in senses and sense gratification. So in text number 29, the connection is Krishna is saying that, no, why is this, even though soul is nothing to do with matter, why does it, you know, become entangled with sense gratification? Soul has nothing to do with matter, but why does he become attached to enjoying matter? So the question is because of bewilderment with the modes of material nature. That's why, at least now we can write down the connection. Oh, yes, okay, good. So, usually it's good, like, you know, in Bhagavad Gita with pencil you can write down, so that next time when you teach, you know, or you teach your kids or you teach Bhakti Gita or something, right, it will be very useful for you. Or if you read also, it will give a deeper connection, the flow. Actually, now only while preparing I am able to see that. I myself didn't do it earlier, I think. So it's good. So Krishna is, because of bewilderment by the modes of material nature, they want to be absorbed in material activities. So what should the wise person do?
Should not stop them.
But what should we do?
Just
engage them in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Then what is one of the main points we discussed, where, you know, we talked about devotees but greater than God? What was that?
Devotees take this.
So Krishna is saying not to preach to
non-devotees,
or not to preach to people who are attached to sense gratification. But what do devotees do? They take risk and preach. So they disobey the order of the Lord to
please the Lord,
in order to fulfill the internal desire of the Lord. Okay, one second. Okay.
Sorry, thank you.
Okay, everything is gone.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
So sorry.
No problem.
Okay. In 26, it says, so as not to disturb the minds of the attached to fruitive results, a learned person should not induce them to talk work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities.
This is similar.
It's the same thing.
Same
right?
Thing, yeah. It's similar to 26. Yeah, in my book I've written now, 3.26 is also same. Okay. So there, Prabhupada is talking, says in the last paragraph that how devotees are actually more kind than the Lord. Even though Lord says, you know, do not preach them and do not waste your valuable time, but devotee takes all kinds of risks in order to somehow or the other connect them to Krishna. Yeah. Okay, so that's what we discussed last class. Any other points we remember? From your notes or something which you meditated on the whole week. Good joke, huh?
We forget our spiritual duties because we are lazy.
Oh, lazy, yeah. Manda, lazy person. Yeah. Actually, I wanted to like have a discussion among us. Like, how many of us, you know, find so many reasons why we are lazy in spiritual lives? First of all, do we acknowledge we are lazy in spiritual lives?
Yes.
So, what are some of the reasons we wanted to brainstorm so that, you know, we can learn from each other? What are some of the, you know, obstacles or why? What are some
excuses.
Of the things which are excuses? Complaints or whatever, which are stopping us from taking Krishna consciousness fully.
So what I felt was that
there are so many daily stuff that needs to be done, so you always prioritize them. Okay, I have to do this, I have to do the dishes, let me first finish the, you know, vegetables and all that, and then you think about, by the time you're like tired and
okay, that's good point. I'll pick on that later on. That's going to be
Kali Yuga, so I think the human being has become a Kali Yuga. I mean, it's like a machine. Like, so you wake up in the morning, you start getting the kids ready for school, you pack everything, by the time it's time for work, you go to work, and you spend the 8-9 hours, whatever is needed. By the time you come back, the kids have to be fed again and put them to sleep and all that. So you look at the whole day, it is, if you don't take any time, when there's no time to actually think, because the way the life is organized, there isn't spirituality anywhere.
Put it in a question of like benefits, right? So Krishna consciousness is rather gradual, whereas if you go to work and, you know, every 15 days they are giving paycheck, so it's there. So you see the benefit right in front of their eyes, you think, okay, maybe that is
results, fruitive results. We are getting results back.
And if you don't do Krishna consciousness, there is nothing like
obviously,
immediately.
So we think, okay. We can push it back, but that's not good.
okay,
it's about knowledge plus prioritization. I mean, both are interrelated, because we don't have a knowledge that what we are losing, that's the reason it's low in the brain day to day, because we are, let's say we have to go to work, you will reach office by 9 no matter what, you will skip a lot of things, but you because we have a knowledge that we have to do it, so we don't know the value of spiritual life, I believe.
No, I think it's also to do with upbringing a lot. Like, because I wasn't brought up in Krishna consciousness myself, so it's not a part of like. So my wife, whenever she does things or wakes up and stuff, or after bath stuff, she always chants some mantras and stuff like that, because she has been brought up with that. Into her, and I was like amazed by the amount of things she knows. Like, she just keeps, you know, going with Surga Shatshati, and she'll keep going one after the other. But I wasn't brought up with that culture, so I think it's not to do with the family values and the parents and the way you're brought up as well. Which leads to, I mean, if you see that is a way of life, you will do it. But if you don't see that as a way of life, you will gravitate towards what's given to you. As you have to go here, you have to do this, you have to do that. It's easier to follow them.
That's right.
Right. But if we don't do now itself, our kids also learn the same thing.
Even now.
That's true.
Main thing what I'm hearing is we have been accustomed to living a certain way of life based on what we see around us, and we are now stuck to it. It's becoming very difficult to get out of that shell.
Right.
Yeah. So we don't know. First of all, we don't know how to take out time, being so, especially with kids and all, I can imagine. So we are kind of hearing something, you know, okay, I have to make time, but I don't know where to find that time to make that investment.
Second thing is, like, though we do it, we don't really feel the taste of it. That's what I was saying, that you don't see,
you don't see the
immediate
result.
So we know, like, it's like jaundice. But still, like,
what's the example of jaundice? Everybody knows the example of jaundice?
Yeah.
Can somebody share? I think some of them don't know. You can share.
What's the example of jaundice? Like, when a person has a jaundice, they give him sugarcane juice to cure it. But at that time, those sugarcane juice is sweet.
Sugarcane juice.
They feel it's bitter. They don't like it.
Don't feel
and gradually, when you keep taking it, when the jaundice gets killed, then you feel the taste of it. So similarly, we are also having jaundice of this material world. So we don't really feel the taste of the devotion service. So keep doing, practicing it. Once our
the jaundice gets cured.
Gets cured, then we'll feel the taste of it.
Mm.
So,
but there is
jaundice.
But
yeah,
that's given by scriptures.
Yeah.
It's
not
a
yeah.
But it's a
good
effect.
Yeah.
That's what we told her in class.
Yeah, you're saying something? Yeah, jaundice?
So same way. We do it, but mechanically, that's what happens. We try to sometimes focus, but again, we get some other thoughts. We just go around again.
Because we have the taste from the material world is still more stronger than the taste in Krishna consciousness. So we just do it because, you know, okay, maybe I owe this, or, you know, because I heard it, or, you know, out of fear, Divya Mataji says. So something, we do it. And then, but then, given little chance of, you know, some other things coming up, it's very easy to give this up.
Mm.
Right? Maybe some other priority. Maybe now I'm going out of town, or, you know, picnic or something. That's all. That's enough for us to not chant that day.
We won't skip chanting, but the way we do chanting.
Yeah, there are different levels. Some people may do
that.
Some
that will, the quality will degrade just like any.
Quality,
yeah.
That's it.
We'll complete the number, but.
Mm.
I think that I think, but I feel like love factor goes away. Like if you are like busy in your work or something, you are chanting. Okay, you're just completing the number and done.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like.
So maybe something which we can reflect on is like, you know, okay, we are okay doing so-called work, going to work. One day we should step back and think, right? Okay, we are going to work, wife, children, everything, right? At the end of the day, what is all this for? Like, you know. We know it's going to end, right? So much running around, so much investment of time, effort, everything. At least once you should reflect and see, you know, why am I spending so much my time and energy in my life and not investing the same, at least some amount in the time, in the thing which is going to give me spiritual, eternal benefit.
The problem is exactly how you stated it. You have to take that one day off. How do you get the
yeah, order? Just take a step back and yeah, this is the time actually for us. No, at least now we are spending 1 hour, right? One together. This is a time where we can reflect and so these are some of the reasons why we are lazy in spiritual life.
I think Krishna says for the person who is self-realized, there is no duty.
Yeah. But still, he performs his duty. That's what he says.
Yeah.
You know what? Prabhu, you're learning Bhagavad Gita from what I'm teaching.
Just half sentence, whatever it suits.
Yeah, so I should know better.
it's a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
If you will see the community, like how many in the percentage, like how many are Krishna conscious, how many are non-Krishna conscious. So it's like a
exactly.
They don't have the even the awareness of that.
Yes.
That there is something higher. Days that
yes.
First is the awareness. Even though there is no knowledge in their mind.
So
not only that, and we go by numbers. We think the whole world is doing this, so that may be the right thing to do.
Follow.
Old world is because why it happens like that? Srila Prabhupada gave an example of diamond, like in the shop. Diamond is expensive, right? Not many people come to buy diamond, but there may be some road gold jewelry or some other, you know, artificial thing. There so many people come and buy. So this is the, you know, most precious thing, or, you know, because it you have to spend that much amount, right? Sacrificing all our habits. Taking 1 hour a day at least time. There's so much investment we need to make. So not many people are ready. People are ready to just, you know, Prahlad Maharaj says it's chewing the chewed. That's what we are doing. You know, so many lifetimes we have been enjoying sense gratification, not enjoying actually, trying sense gratification. But still, no, we have so much taste for sense gratification, we cannot easily give it up. Like how the cow, it chews something and brings it out and keeps chewing the same thing. So like that.
But I think time is
so
good,
another thing is
utilizing.
Let's say if you want to watch a movie 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
And waste.
So the main another thing which may help us more is like association. If we have that strong association, then you know, it will help us easily get out of that clutches. if you have group of people, you know, whom like almost once a week, let's say we meet and chant or read or something, right? At least that, you know, as if, you know, we are responsible for them. It comes out like that. We can talk about Krishna or... Yeah.
What would be easy is like in kids, right? The first time they don't do homework, teacher gives them one scolding like that. Like that, somebody says, so, oh, you didn't do it today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking actually, how I can help in... we are discussing, that's true, but I am feeling that we are not absorbing, we are not applying. So I am trying to see, you know, how I can help in that, in your journey. Like, you know, it should not be like 1 year, after 1 year, we are still same. Not in, with respect to knowledge, but with respect to application of Krishna consciousness. Knowledge maybe you may gain, but which will be lost very soon, right? Because we'll forget. But if we apply, then it stays with us. Because it becomes now vijnana. Jnana and vijnana, there are difference. When we apply, it becomes vijnana. Realized knowledge. When we have realized knowledge, then it will remain with us. Let's see.
You can set some benchmark and then follow.
Yeah, or actually, let's see. Today I'm going to try something. Let's see if it works. Then we'll see. Okay. So we'll start today's verse. Text number 13. Wonderful verse.
Sarvani Kratani Sanyasya Dhyatma Chetasa Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva Yudhyasva Vigata Chvara. Mai Sarvani Karmani Sanyasya Dhyatma Chetasa Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva Yudhyasva Vigata Chvara.
Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Okay, so these are all Krishna's demands. How Arjuna should fight? First is surrendering all your works unto Krishna. Second, with full knowledge of Krishna, without desire for profit, and with no claims for proprietorship and free from lethargy. So this verse is actually so far Krishna has been telling Arjuna to fight, right, in so many ways. Especially so far in this chapter, he was telling him to fight on the matter of, on the platform of duty, or rather on the platform of Nishkama Karma, where, you know, just do it without attached to the results. That's what Nishkama Karma Yoga we were discussing. But now that Nishkama Karma is, that platform of Nishkama Karma is now being transformed into Bhakti. The same activity, do it with in detachment, but do it unto Krishna. Then that activity becomes Bhakti. Nishkama Karma Yoga is still on a material platform, if you don't do it unto Krishna. Right? I may be doing some duty without attachment to results. That means I give results to somebody else. It need not be Krishna. Right? Then it's not bhakti. Then we don't get transcendental benefits. But if we do the same activity unto Krishna, it becomes bhakti. So now Krishna is actually raising the bar. No, it's no more kama, nishkama, sakama, all those things. He's asking Arjuna to do fight as a devotion unto Krishna. Or, you know, fight as a devotional service. And then some other points are, like, you know, with full knowledge of Krishna, And you know, these points, without desires for profit and with no claims for proprietorship, these two are basically give freedom from passion. So passion is about usually profit and proprietorship, right? Mode of passion is about, you know, what I gain and what I own. So then, without free desires for profit, without with no claims for proprietorship, means you get freedom from passion, free from lethargy. Lethargy is mode of ignorance, laziness. So freedom from ignorance. With freedom from ignorance, what Arjuna has to do is to fight. So this verse, mainly if you want to take a note, this verse talks about what is the consciousness in which Arjuna has to fight. Not just fight. Krishna has been telling so far to fight, right? This verse mainly talks about the consciousness with which he has to fight. Now what should be his mindset? So this verse is similar to 8.7, which later Arjuna Krishna again says, which we I think referred earlier once. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara pujyat. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu 8.7. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara pujyat. Mai arpita mano buddhir mam evaishyasi asamshaya. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. So what Krishna is telling is, first you should think of me in the form of Krishna and then at the same time carry out the prescribed duty of fighting. So it doesn't mean you just keep thinking about me and don't do your duty. Like, you know, how Arjuna said, I'll go to forest begging, or the so-called meditators where they give up the duties, where Prabhu was telling, right, self-realized souls, they don't have duty, so, you know, they don't do duty. Krishna is not saying that, right? At the same time, it's not that we are so absorbed in so-called doing duties that we forget Krishna. That's what we talked about earlier, right? Oh, we are so duty-bound. Okay, we have to go 9 o'clock to work, take care of, feed kids. We're so much, you know, dutiful. So much dutiful that we forget, you know, that actually Krishna is the one whom we have to ultimately serve. We forget the whole point. It's like, you know, Prabhupada says, you know, there's so many zeros. What's the point if you add more zeros behind one more zeros? There's no value until there is one, which is Krishna. So ultimately, that's what I was telling, we should reflect. Ultimately, at the end of the day, or, you know, end of life, what is it?
There was a chapter 261 verse. Sarvani Sarvani Sandhi Parah. We talked about
Matpara devotee. Of Ambarish Maharaj, right?
Yes. So this actually is kind of surrendering all your works unto me, this full knowledge of me without.
So we can read that verse, 2.61 translation. Man of steady intelligence,
3.27.
One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control and fixes his consciousness upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. So how is it related, Prabhu? How do you see the connection?
Because that also says, just focus on me. So this also says, surrender all your works unto me, full knowledge of me.
That's very good, yeah. So that's so that verse 8.7, Krishna says, you know, think of me and at the same time carry a prescribed duty of fighting. So that's the challenge, actually. Okay, if we leave people and say, okay, do your duty, okay, people doing the duty, okay, I'm doing the duty. But if you say people, okay, just think of Krishna, maybe, you know, some people may fake thinking of Krishna. But doing this both, that is a challenge. Think of Krishna at the same time doing the duty. Or rather, while solving computer problems, somehow thinking of Krishna. How do we do that? That's the challenge. That is what, we have to cultivate that consciousness. That's what we need to endeavor the whole life. How? While doing my duties, I will never forget Krishna.
It's not just for
it's not that we should stop and, you know, okay, now let me remember Krishna. We should be so, like, you know, that's a, of course, you know, topmost stage we are talking about. Like how, like, I'm just thinking about how Yashoda Mata, right? Like, she does so many things for Krishna, like, you know, making, dressing him or making butter for him or so many things all around. These are all duties, so-called, so many things. Even these days, mothers also do. Feeding their kids, dressing the kids, bathing the kids, everything Mother Yashoda is also doing. But in all the things, she's always remembering Krishna, right?
Hmm.
Of course, we don't have Krishna as our child.
Yeah.
But we have Krishna's child as our child.
Hmm. Did Yashoda Mata know that he was the God?
Yeah, she knew and she doesn't know also. Yeah. She's covered, like, that's what Krishna wants. Because she doesn't want her to treat him as a god. So he covered her to treat him as a child.
So
yeah.
She was ignorant about it?
No, she is fully knowledgeable, but she is covered by internal potency. She's not ignorance is the way we think of ignorant. We are all ignorant. We don't know Krishna. But she knows Krishna fully, but she that is covered by her love. Okay. So what is the point we're talking? Yeah, we have Krishna's child as a child, right? Yeah, we were talking about that. So we'll come to that in a moment. So we'll start reading the purport and discuss some points.
This verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, we can stop there. So what is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita?
To love Krishna.
To explain and to understand Krishna consciousness.
If we can see the verse and also the line where Prabhupada is saying.
Surrender all your work unto him with full knowledge of him.
Okay, so the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to surrender to Krishna. Which is the verse where Krishna says that, demands that again. Sarvadharma parityaja mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papepyo mukshayishyami masucha. 1866. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So that is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. But some people, you know, many there are many commentation, many interpretations of Bhagavad Gita. They interpreted the goal of Bhagavad Gita to be something else. Like, I think Mahatma Gandhi concluded the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is non-violence. Right? So many other purposes come out. But how do we know what is the real purpose? Is from the example of Arjuna himself, who listened to Bhagavad Gita and what he did. Right? At the end of listening to Bhagavad Gita, what did Arjuna do?
He fought the war
with as a devotional service to Krishna. Like in this verse, like with this consciousness. So he surrendered to Krishna. So at the end of reading this Bhagavad Gita, we should be ready to surrender to Krishna. At least. Hopefully. So then how do we know what is Krishna's will in our life? That, you know, okay, right? That's the question again, right? Krishna, Arjuna has, you should ask this question. Arjuna has Krishna in front of him, right? He knows exactly what to do, what not to do. What about us? What's the answer for that? Yeah, we should have a guru, or you know, we have Krishna's words. We have Krishna's words, so we understand the import of Krishna's words. Then we should try to live our life by these words. Like when we understand the meaning, you know, then we try to apply and try to live our lives by these words. Also, otherwise, we have a spiritual master who's representative of Krishna, and we surrender to spiritual master who is a via media and who conveys what is Krishna's will in our lives. So who doesn't have spiritual master, what should we do? We have Siksha Gurus, or you know, somebody whom we can look up to, we can ask them, like in especially in critical decisions in lives, we can ask them so they can guide us based on their experienced Krishna consciousness, how to make a Krishna conscious decision. In such a way that we can come closer to Krishna. Okay. So everybody knows purpose of Bhagavad Gita, right? No?
The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties, as if in military discipline. Such an injection may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Krishna was therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute
his order. You can pause there for execute his order. Yeah. See, like the second line, Prabhupada is saying, Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. Such an injection may make things difficult. Why it's difficult? Because it's difficult to become fully Krishna conscious. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because that is a constitutional position of entity. That means wherever we are, we try to execute those duties, wherever our Krishna consciousness is, with dependence on Krishna. So, I was listening to one lecture, you know, to understand things a little deeper. So, Radhanath Maharaj lecture, and Maharaj was saying, giving an example of a person in Bhagavatam who exemplified or who lived his life by this, this verse. His life is like this, so we can discuss that. Prabhupada said, you know, when we read, Maharaj was saying, when we read about such souls who live Bhagavad Gita, that's when we understand the import of these messages. So he is talking about example of Vidura. So Vidura is Dhritarashtra's brother and Pandu's brother, and he is So he is very saintly. He is a very affectionate uncle, and he protected Pandavas all through the time, and always he was on the Pandavas, and he is very, very pure devotee of the Lord. And at the end, when he knew his brother Dhritarashtra is on the wrong side and he is going to go to hell by actually helping his sons. So he wants to help his brother, so he comes to advise Dhritarashtra. Because he feels it's his duty to help his brother, you know, give him good advice. So he comes to the palace and he gives advice. He says to Dhritarashtra, like, you know, you are maintaining the Pandavas. Yudhishthir Maharaj doesn't have any enemy. For that person, you are actually taking away everything, and it's not good. It's not good on your part to do this. And you are maintaining offense personified. Duryodhana, your son, is offense personified. And because he is envious of Krishna, and because he is a non-devotee, by maintaining him, all your life is inauspicious. So you better get rid of this, you know, bad thing. Just get rid of, the words are so strong, Vidura uses. Get rid of him and do good for all your family, that will become good for whole family. And this he spoke in front of Duryodhana, Karna and all the brothers and his uncle Shakuni. So then you can imagine the effect now. Duryodhana starts hissing like a snake. It's like, you know, and then, because he has that power, right? So then he starts shouting. It's like, you know, you are a son of a kept maid servant. Because Vidura is son of a maid servant. It's not son of the queen, right? And you are living on our, we are providing, we are maintaining you. And you are becoming, opposing us only. Just let him go just with his breath. Let him leave everything. Let him go with just his breath. like that, he spoke harsh words, and basically they insulted Vidura in front of the whole, like whole the kingdom or whole this whole courtyard. And then Vidura understood that, you know, okay, now I have to leave, and he just put his bow down and then he left. But what is the message for us is the mentality or the thoughts of Vidura when he received this, when he went through this situation. What Vidura thought was, this is the blessing of the Lord. That, you know, okay, now ultimately, finally, I got my chance to get out of this materialistic association which I was stuck so long because of duty or some other reason, and now I got chance to 100% fully dedicate myself to service of the Lord.
Was Vidur a minister in the court of
Dhritarashtra? Yeah. So now I got chance to fully depend on the Lord. So, and he felt like, okay, Duryodhana is acting like this because of the influence of external energy. It's none of his fault. Everybody is illusioned by external energy. So Duryodhana is one of it. So what is, no, he didn't take any personal offense against him. Internally he felt that, you know, it's Krishna's blessing that he is giving me an opportunity to become, or rather express, become fully Krishna conscious. And he took it as a blessing, and he goes away. And later on, he goes on a pilgrimage to purify himself. And later on, again, after the war, he comes back again to save his brother. That's a different thing. So the point here is, this Maharaj was talking about is how, while doing his duties, he is at the same time fully dependent on the will of the Lord, on mercy of Krishna. Now he understood, because he is fully conscious of Krishna, he understood it moment to moment, what is Krishna's will, or rather, you know, how to execute his will. Okay, now Krishna is giving me chance to leave, so I'm going to take it, instead of, you know, being vengeful or doing so. We can imagine how we would react in that situation, right? Like, we will never be even 0 or 1% close to Krishna consciousness of what he has, right? And another example of this is Maharaj Parikshit. How many of you know the story of Maharaj Parikshit? So Maharaj Parikshit is Uttara's son, right? Abhimanyu's son. And he became the emperor after all the Pandavas, because all the Pandavas left, and then Maharaj Parikshit became the emperor. And he was taking care, and he was an ideal king, doing everything perfectly. And just then Krishna left the world, and then Kali Yuga started happening. So then the effect of Kali Yuga also, he was so powerful that he was able to stop Kali for some time. Kali means, like, in the sense, effect of Kali for some time. These are all details there in Bhagavatam. And then once what happened, he was going for fighting, and he was feeling very, very thirsty, unusually very thirsty. And then he saw some ashram. He saw one sage sitting there in meditation, closed eyes. And the king enters the place, and he sees that no, the sage doesn't get up to receive him. And he was so thirsty, and nobody offers him even water. Then he was thinking, oh, I'm a king, and okay, we'll come to that, you know, why he would think like that later on. He feels like insulted, or rather offended. Then he just leaves the ashram. While going, he finds a dead snake. And he picks up the dead snake and puts it on the sage's neck. And walks away and goes to his palace and keeps thinking, you know, he is actually a pure devotee of the Lord. No, why I felt like this, you know, why I had to do this thing like this. But anyway, then he realizes, okay, there is a mistake I made. Okay, whatever is going to happen due to this, whatever reaction I have to face, I'm ready to face. So in the meanwhile, sage's son, Shringi, he is a Brahmana's son. Sage is a Brahmana. Brahmana's Shringi, he comes and he sees his father in this state, and he's Brahmana, so he was powerful actually. They Brahmanas can curse. So he curses, like, okay, king, he did like this, and a king is supposed to be actually Brahmanas, you know, we are maintaining the king, that's what Shringi thought. But he is doing like this, so I'm going to curse the king that he is going to die with a snake bite within 7 days. So when Maharaj Parikshit heard this curse, how did he receive this curse? He received this curse, like, okay, this is finally my opportunity to renounce my kingdom, renounce all my duties, and fully absorb myself in Krishna Katha and leave the body in Krishna, fully Krishna consciousness. So what did he do rest of the 7 days? He listened to Bhagavatam. Because he knows it's only 7 days, listen to Bhagavatam. On the contrary, Srila Prabhupada gives example of, these modern day materialistic men, how they are so attached to sense gratification. Like he was giving one example, or maybe somebody else, giving an example like of a businessman, he's going to die. Like he knows, the doctor gave a notice that it's going to be 1 year. And then he requests the doctor, please can you extend it 4 more years, I have some more business to finish. that's what we are. We are so absorbed to doing our duties, right? So dutiful. That we want to do more and more duties. That also requires Krishna consciousness. Marikshit Maharaj is so Krishna conscious. Or actually, that means until that time, he was doing it so detached way. It's not that suddenly, I'm ready to give up. How will it be? So he was already so Krishna conscious that he was just doing it as service to the Lord all the while. That the moment service changed. Krishna is saying, now you prepared yourself. Or give path for the Bhagavatam to be spoken. You be the instrument. Then he is ready to do that. So that's the reason actually he felt angry. He's a pure devotee. He never had to face this situation. Like how Arjuna was put into illusion. Because Bhagavad Gita has to be so spoken. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj had to go through that experience in order for Bhagavatam to come out. For all of us to hear.
Otherwise, he was a really nice thing. He wouldn't have done something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the point, or rather, the thing which we are trying to drive home here is, how while doing our duties, there will be situations where we can understand how we can depend on Krishna, or we can take it as mercy of the Lord rather than acts of external energy. Parikshit Maharaj, or even. Who's this initially we talked? Vidura. He could have taken it as this effect of Maya, or this is my karma. Act of external energy. And then revolted, or it's my reaction and revolted against it. Or he could, how does external energy act? External energy takes us away from Krishna. Or he could take it as act of internal potency. Internal potency which is bringing me closer to Krishna. And they use that opportunity to come closer to Krishna, which is to take full surrender, to fully take up devotion service. That's what he did. He took it as internal potency. So in day to day, in our lives also, things happen, right? How we take it depends on which energy we see it's coming from. Or rather, if you just take it as reaction or effect, or something happens, this person said this or something, then nothing happens. We never grow in Krishna consciousness. But if you take it as, there is some message in this, there is something by Krishna is giving me some message by which I can develop my Krishna consciousness, then we can take it as an opportunity to come closer to Krishna. Is everybody understanding, or I don't know?
Yeah.
I see so many yawns. I don't know, is it too sleepy or?
No, I believe that that's true for all of us, right? Something must have happened in our life to bring us closer to this, to be taking instruction like this.
Yeah.
Some mishap or some good thing, some chance meeting with somebody who was already Krishna conscious.
Yes. So, but the thing is, it's not just past. These things are happening moment to moment because we are sincerely, Swami Prabhupada, are you busy?
No, sorry.
Okay. Because we are sincerely trying to take up Krishna consciousness, Krishna is helping us. We are not seeing Him. This gives us an opportunity to see Him. When such things happen, like some things happen which are disturbing or which are not disturbing, we can always think, what is Krishna's message in it for me? Like for example, if I have a fight with my mother-in-law, right? Immediately I think, okay, I know I don't have these qualities. No, I'm yet to become humble. I'm yet to become grateful. These things are showing me, there's a long way to go. Let me work on it. Some like that, we can always reflect and apply it in our journey to Krishna consciousness. So that's what I was thinking. We can do a homework this week to remember this verse, what is the import of this verse, and remember the examples we talked about, and think about in this course of week, some things happen. Think about how those things have actually helped us chant better, or helped us take shelter of Krishna better, or helped us realize that this life is futile. Help us realize that, you know, our pursuits are futile, or something which makes us more spiritual. You got it? Like, just reflect. Just reflect this week on some things which happen where we can feel like, you know, that, you know, why am I spending time here? I should rather, you know, take shelter of Krishna better, which should inspire us to take shelter of Krishna better. Everybody understand the homework?
Yeah, yeah.
Can somebody, I am doubtful, can somebody rephrase what we need to do?
The first thing is that remember this verse, remember all the eight examples.
So at least, you know we have to do some homework, then we realize which verse is this. So we'll at least once, 3. I think, 2. I hope, we'll come, open the book and read the verse.
Yeah.
At least then that's good. Yeah.
So the main thing is that reflect the whole week. Okay, during the whole week, okay, that what is going wrong, and the energy what we are spending on something else, trying to, because for example, if you shout or scream,
yeah,
you are very angry, and instead of responding to that reaction, just go and just do, just chant or just think about Krishna, instead of spending that energy somewhere else.
It's not about wrong, it's about something could have gone well as well.
Yes.
It's not the right thing.
Yes.
And the boss comes and says, hey, you're doing an awesome job here, and I'm like, why is that supposed to? What is there in me? Like, what could?
Yeah, we could reflect.
About,
yes, correct.
Not about having things gone wrong. Why things gone right could have also taken us from Krishna.
So some way or the other,
wrong. That's the reason.
Because that's most of the time.
Yeah.
That's the time we remember Krishna. That's what he's telling.
Because that brings us to a very selfish perspective. Like, you only want to be in Krishna consciousness because things go wrong.
That's okay. At least we can. That's okay. At least we start being Krishna conscious.
This is Mataji's trick. Like, for a kid, we'll say, we'll give you one lollipop, just eat this one. It's like a lollipop.
At least this. So, okay, that is one. So, somebody else, Mataji said, somebody can rephrase what we need to do.
So, basically, through some of the events and activities, just think what has brought you closer to Krishna consciousness.
Or
why
use that incidents. Use that incidents to see how you can come closer to Krishna. Like, you know, some disturbing situation or something happy situation. Use that, or at least have a feeling that, you know, there is somewhere else I need. Yeah, this use this an opportunity to come closer to Krishna. Use that an opportunity to chant better. Use that an opportunity to, you know, read Gita or listen or something, and then we will actually be applying this principle of while doing our duties depending on Krishna. Because in course of doing our duties, we are facing some difficulties. Then, with that difficulties, we are taking that as an opportunity to depend on Krishna, right? So that's what we are executing while doing our duties, depending on Krishna.
And to understand what Krishna, why
what
happened, because
exactly.
Krishna has some purpose.
So what is Krishna's what is Krishna's message for me here in this incident? If we start reflecting this, I'm pretty sure you'll see that actually you'll see Krishna more than what we are doing now. Just by reflecting, you know, in this situation, what does Krishna want me to do here? What is my service here? Like, it could be as simple as, for example, my kid is, today I'm feeding my kid and somehow he's refusing to eat, right? Or something happening. Then we will see, actually we are getting frustrated in trying to feed him, right? Then we can reflect, you know, why? So that means I don't have patience. Or, you know, I don't, it's so easy, right? So easy to remember Krishna, actually.
Yeah. So just extrapolate a little bit on that. You said that the person would get frustrated because you're not able to feed the kid is not feeling well, etc. How we see an opportunity within that action or within that situation to get closer to Krishna. So can you cite an example as what we can do to leverage that activity?
Yeah, so in this case, right? So first of all, I will see, for example, I'm feeding my kid and somehow he's not eating, right? I'm getting frustrated and I'm shouting, then immediately at that time, okay, I'll probably deal with it like that and some more forcefully feed him, he will cry or whatever, right? After some time, I'll reflect. Then, you know, okay, why? How I would have handled it better? You know, kids are like that. They are going to behave like this. If I had a proper composure, if I had chanted better, I would have dealt with it much better. Or, you know, if I would have had taken shelter of Krishna better, then I would have dealt with it better. Or they say, you know, like whatever kids reflect, actually it's our, you know, they say if a kid disobeys our order, it says actually that you are disobeying your spiritual master's order. You should take it like that. But many of us don't have spiritual masters. But we can reflect that, you know, we are like that to the Lord. We are disobeying the Lord. Lord is, or you know, so many people are trying to help us in so many ways, but we don't want to listen to them. So we are trying to feed the kid to help him. He doesn't want to listen to us. So we are getting reactions back. So many ways, or you know, how I can...
So one way would be to think of it as these are reactions coming back, and another way would be to reflect on your behavior,
yes,
why you got frustrated, to
yes,
analyze it, how you can do better in
yes
that situation rather
yes
than getting frustrated,
yes,
how you can
correct
handle it with more patience.
Yes, yes.
And that would be kind of a service or
yes,
or your
how
devotion
I can,
to God.
Exactly. How, so basically, taking care of my kid is my service to God. And obviously, with this in this incident, I didn't do proper service. And I want to do my service better. So I'm going to reflect and see, you know, Krishna, please help me. Help me in my, help me, make me a better person, or, you know, give me the ability to do this service. This is what is my prayer every day, you know. It's given my disqualifications, you know, given the service Krishna has given me, like it's challenging. Right, so every day I pray to Krishna, you know, you have given me the service, now give me the qualities or give me the ability to do the service properly in such a way that it pleases you. Right, at least in the morning we can start with this prayer, knowing that, you know, we are not qualified for the services we are doing.
It's going to be really tough.
Yeah. So at least we can start, I feel, you know, we can start. Then we can see actually Krishna so much.
When something is not going right, sometimes we feel it's karma, you know. So is it a reaction or is it a karma, or both are same?
It's the same.
Both are same.
Karma and reaction.
We can see it as karma, mostly that's what we are facing it. That's what materialists are facing. We are also facing it. But if we feel that, you know, I am serving Krishna some or the other, then actually Krishna is, we can see Krishna in that. Or rather, we can see, now Krishna is taking care of our lives. That's what I mean. For a sincere devotee, it's no longer karma. It's Krishna himself who is orchestrating through the karma, through the external energy, trying to give us messages. But we are blind, we are not seeing it. So what homework we are trying to do is trying to see Krishna in day-to-day incidents of life, or while doing our duties, trying to depend on Krishna. See, this last...
Can I ask one more question?
Oh, sure.
So just going back to what we discussed a minute ago, we said one way we could look at it as getting back reactions.
Mm.
Another would be to evaluate your behavior, that why you're getting frustrated, and instead you could have dealt with it patiently and done a better job, right? So I think in that way, how can we develop ourselves to think more in a positive manner? Because one could just settle down thinking, okay, I'm just receiving the results of the reaction and not do anything about it. Right? And the other way would be to think of it as how I can better myself.
Yes.
So how can we actually go on the path of the more positive approach to it and not just settle down with the reactions result?
Yeah, that's up to us what we want to do, right? Like, you see, that it's all about our connection to Krishna. If we see it as a service to Krishna, and if we are sincere, we want to improve our service. Why do we want to be stagnant? Doing, like, let's say if some Mataji and Papaji are doing book table service for so many years, right? okay, initially it's enthusiasm. It's all new. Okay, I have to arrange this, I have to arrange this, I have to fix this. You know, it's new, right? So it's easy to be occupied. After some time, it becomes same. Like every same thing I have to keep there, same thing I have to keep there, same people come, same, it becomes routine. So does this mean like, you know, now I'm not going to improve my service? Should I not meditate? Okay, this is my service to Krishna. How am I going to improve it? Either improve in terms of expanding or improve in terms of quality. Right? Maybe now I will talk to the customer better in a more Krishna conscious way. Right? Right? We can reflect that, right? I can improve the quality of my service. It need not be quantity. It need not be I'll have more children to, you know, serve Krishna. It may be one child, but better service to the Krishna through that child. But if you rather, if you don't see it as a connection to Krishna, then it's easy to settle down as karma. Because then you know, okay, it's me, it's up to, it's only me, right? There is nothing, yeah, exactly. But when we see Krishna, it's a service to Krishna, then we want to improve that service.
So even though it's actually coming out of reaction, it might be because of our karma, but how we deal with it is, how
exactly.
We look at it, it would be, if we try to have a connection with Krishna,
yeah,
then
yeah,
it's better.
Exactly, yeah. Actually, that determines again whether we are going to get reaction again or no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say if somebody shouts, right, that thing is actually already of my reaction. But how do we respond to that reaction is again going to determine our reactions, right? If I silently tolerate that, right, then maybe I'm not even start stirring up. But if I again shout, then maybe, you know, again I have to face the same thing.
Yeah. So I mean, like even Gita says, right, if you have to deal with a crafty person, you cannot just be straightforward. You also have to apply some strategy.
Mm.
But then you will be getting reactions to that, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
So what is the way around it?
So it's all about our consciousness. Like, you know, ultimately, if it's everything is done for service to Krishna, you'll be foolproof. No, you'll be protected. But anything is done for your gratification or protection of your ego or something, that's all. You're on your own. That's all. Simple. Because even in Krishna's service, you could be crafty, you could be diplomatic. Everything can be used in Krishna's service. You could be violent, Arjuna. Right? But whereas, if you, it's not for service to Krishna, if a Prabhupada is giving example of a military commander, he is in the army. There he fights a war, he kills many, as many people he kills, he gets so many medals. He comes home and even he kills one small ant, or rather, you know, nobody catches ant killing. But if he kills some animal or something, right, which is under protection of the state, he will be put in jail. So because he is there, he is killing under order of the administration, or, you know, under order of somebody, you know, under somebody's purview. But here is on his own. So similarly, you know, as long as we are sure, or at least, you know, sincerely we know this is service to Krishna, that's why I am doing it, then we are protected. The moment, you know, we try to cheat Krishna, that's all. You know, we have to face reactions. Because we have some, you know, that's another problem, you know. We try to use Krishna as an excuse and try to get our things done through that. You know, basically we are trying to cheat Krishna, that's what it is. But who is the greatest cheater? Krishna is the cheater of the cheaters. No? He is the greatest cheater. No, nobody can cheat Krishna, that's what it is. Okay. So we'll come back to this purport. So last few lines of the section which we read, it's very significant. Actually, every line I was trying to read this so many times. It's so, you know, it's so deep, so potent. Even one word we cannot live by. It's so, you know, such a high bar Krishna is setting and Prabhupada is explaining to us. Like, for example, Prabhupada is telling that living entity, constitutional position of living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. So first we know what we need to know, what are the desires of the Lord, and we need to be subordinate. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. That means he just has to execute it. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. That means I was just thinking, you know, what does it mean for me? No. Maybe, you know, we should also practice this, you know, whenever we read something, we should think about, you know, what does it mean for me in my life, what does it mean? So when I was reading this, like, you know, sacrifice everything for goodwill of the Supreme Lord, at the same time discharge prescribed duties. Because sometimes I feel, my main duty now is taking care of kids, right? That's my main service, main this thing. But at the same time, you know, I have, some taste for, you know, reading Bhagavatam or listening to lectures and things like that. And Bhakti Vaibhav, we are trying to do the course. So I'm hardly finding time to study, but I'm like so much eager to do that. But I feel, you know, sometimes if I have to sacrifice that desire, even though that may be for service to the Lord, sacrifice that for goodwill of the Lord. What is goodwill of the Lord in my life? Is to take care of children. So in order to do that, sometimes I may have to sacrifice that also. Right? And same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had to only execute his order. See how deep this sentence is. Did everybody understand this import? Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute his order.
Yeah. There's no choice.
There's no choice. So that's what it means to surrender. Surrender means you
blindly.
No, it's not blind. Surrender means basically you yourself feel there is no choice. Actually, it's not out of force. So after speaking all the Bhagavad Gita, what did Krishna tell to Arjuna at the end? Does anybody know?
Arjuna told Krishna.
Krishna told Arjuna again. He tells Sarvadharma Parityaja, Manmana Bhava, think of me, all those things, right? All these instructions. And then Krishna says, okay, I have spoken whatever I have to speak. Now you do whatever you want to do. So when he gave the choice, what did Arjuna do? With his own will, he chose to surrender to Krishna. So it's not blind surrender. It's not force. It's not fear. It's not fear. But devotee feels that there is no choice because of his love for the Lord. He feels there is no choice. Like, very nice, I was just reflecting. Very nice, wonderful devotee, Mataji. Very, very exemplary Krishna conscious. Like, you know, so many people get inspired by her Krishna consciousness. I am one of them. Mataji is not here. So what we see in her life is like one after the other, she gets health problems. So many, actually, back to back, you know, I also faced some certain extent some of them, and I knew what my reaction to them are, or rather, you know, how my faith is. I know what is my measure of my Krishna consciousness and how unstable I get, or, you know, how easy it is for me to, doubt Krishna. But when I see her example, that going through these situations, how she is steadfast, now how she is fixed up, or rather, you know, how she is more and more Krishna conscious through these experiences, it's such an example for all of us. And then I asked her once, you know, how you are able to do this, you know, do you ever question, like, you know, I am devoting my life to Krishna, why Krishna is giving me all these things? Did you ever question? Or rather, did you ever feel why I should devote more to Krishna when I have to still face these situations? Then she said, you know, what choice do I have? He is my Lord and Master. Whatever he does to me, you know, what else is there for me? You know, he can do anything and everything to me. That is his mercy. He can treat me as he wants.
Unconditionally,
right? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that verse. Last verse in Shishyashtakam, he says, you know, Ainanda, what is that verse? You know? No, not that one. Last one. Okay, if you read the sequence, you'll get it. But Krishna says, you know, give me an embrace, or you make me broken-hearted by going away from me. You do whatever you want because you are my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So there is no, devotee doesn't feel there is a condition in serving Krishna. So that's what it means to depend on Krishna in situations, means in whatever situation, we don't feel like, we don't put a bucket. That, you know, Krishna has to reciprocate with me in these ways. If I get this money, if I win this lottery, if I get promotion, that's when I feel, you know, oh, Krishna is reciprocating. But if I fail, I feel, you know, oh, Krishna is not reciprocating now. Oh, what's the use of my chanting? Krishna is not listening. You know, why am I doing? But we don't know. Krishna is reciprocating. We don't know how to see it. Right? But if we are sincere, if we are Krishna conscious, we can see that. We see that. How that Mataji is seeing that.
Mataji has to put a lot of extra push to herself. Right?
It makes it.
It's not like just go with the flow, take it easy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all the more harder.
It's more hard, especially, you know, the problem she faces. Once actually her right hand or something happened that she cannot even chant. Imagine. Her heart cries, you know, Krishna, I want to chant. No. Imagine, like, you know what? You know, out of love, I want to chant. I'm not able to chant. Even then, we cannot complain. Yeah, so, it becomes even more harder. But what happens if you put fire in the gold? If you put something gold, if you burn it in the fire, what happens?
It glitters all the more.
So, it glitters all the more and becomes more and more purified. So, that's what distress brings to devotees. It makes devotees more and more purer. Distress is a blessing in devotees' lives, if we take it that way. But if we are not sincere, then distress is an excuse to go away from Krishna. So that's what in that lecture Maharaj was telling, actually. There is nothing, no experience in the whole world which you cannot change that into a spiritual experience. Anything and everything which happens in your life, there is nothing which you cannot change it into a spiritual experience. That means there is nothing which you cannot take it and make yourself come closer to Krishna. In every moment to moment, in every incident, you can make it as an opportunity to come yourself, bring yourself closer to Krishna.
Again, it's a choice, but we are choosing.
Exactly. So that's the exercise we were trying to do. At least, you know, once we can reflect. But actually, we can do it every moment to moment. That's how we can remember Krishna, we can come closer to Krishna. Okay, we'll try to read the rest of the purport. Okay, now rest of the purport, what Srila Prabhupada is doing is giving word to meanings of each of the words in the Sanskrit which we discussed. So we can write down or, you know, we'll discuss it. The Supreme Lord is the soul.
The Supreme Lord is the soul of all souls. Therefore, one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called
Adhyatma Chetas. So Adhyatma Chetas means one who is fully Krishna conscious. So you can write, like, you know, write down or underline that statement or whatever.
Nirashi means that one has to act on the order of the master but should not expect fruitive results. The cashier may count millions of dollars for his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to any individual.
Okay,
we finished that.
So nirashi means that, you know, we should not expect results. Right? That's the meaning Prabhupada is giving. So he's giving an example of cashier. He can count millions of dollars, but nothing, he cannot keep anything to himself. Similarly, a postman. Postman, he just delivers the letters, but just because somebody brought a telegram of death news, we cannot punish the postman. Right? Because he is just a carrier. Yeah. Now next Prabhupada is going to talk about mai or unto me. Similarly, one has to realize.
Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to any individual person, but that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purport of
mai or
mai.
Unto me. So the
unto me.
So mai or unto me means understanding that everything belongs to Krishna and nothing belongs to any other person. Okay.
And when one acts in such Krishna consciousness, certainly he does not claim proprietorship over anything. This consciousness is called nirmama.
Or nothing is mine.
Or nothing is mine. And if there is any...
Okay, we can pause there. So basically nirmama means nothing is mine means, so you should not, you will not feel like, you know, anything belongs to me. Because we know everything belongs to Krishna. So you don't try to enjoy or, you know, exploit that. Don't claim proprietorship. Okay.
And if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, which is without consideration of so-called kingsmen in the bodily relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. In this way, one may become
vigata jvara.
Without feverish mentality or
lethargy.
Lethargy.
So here Prabhupada is telling that, you know, vigata jvara is a feverish mentality, is lethargy, where, you know, we give some excuse or the other to not execute our duties. For example, Arjuna is giving excuse that, you know, my kinsmen, how can I kill my kinsmen, right? That's an excuse he is giving. So that already Krishna told, you know, it's a feverish mentality. He already chastised him so many times that, you know, he said you're speaking like a learned man, but actually you're mourning, huh? What did he say? But you are anaryan. He says you are speaking like a learned man, but actually you are anaryan. Hridaya darbalyam. Yeah, he says it's all because of the weakness of the heart. We have an excuse to make. Feverish mentality or vigata jara, lethargy. Okay, then, so now we got all the word to words, right? One to one meanings, that's what Prabhupada gave us. Okay, now this is the application again for us.
Continue.
Yeah.
Everyone, according to his quality and position, has a particular type of work to discharge, and all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness as described above. That will lead one to the path of liberation.
So this is what it, so finally Prabhupada is telling, you know, it is not just to read and, you know, say it's good verse. It's something which we can apply. So everyone, according to his quality and position, has a particular type of work to discharge. So we all are doing some kind of work, and all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness as described above. So what consciousness with which we have to do those duties? These are the consciousness, surrendering all our works unto Krishna, full knowledge of Krishna, without desiring profit, with no claims of proprietorship, free from lethargy.
But Mother, when you say full knowledge of Krishna, right, when will you get full knowledge of Krishna, right?
So that will lead us in the path of liberation. At least whatever knowledge we have so far, we can continue with that. Then Krishna will give more knowledge of himself. It's not that, you know, wait until we get full knowledge, then we start doing. By the time we are already perfect. Right?
Actually, there is one story for this. That one Prabhupada disciple was asking Prabhupada, is there a God is great? Then Prabhupada said, indeed, he is great. He was explaining that I can see sun and moon are two eyes of the God. So I can see sun and moon, but I couldn't see the God.
Uh-huh.
What is that? Like, why I couldn't see the God? Then Prabhupada replies that when a cat in the dark, can you see the face of the cat?
Okay.
So you can see only eyes.
Mm.
But when you switch on the light, you can see, that is what knowledge means.
Mm.
We have to switch on our knowledge, then we can see the God.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so now I was just reflecting, right? So Prabhupada is telling here, all such duties have to be carried out. So like, for example, my service as, you know, taking care of children, right? How do I do this? Surrendering all your works unto Krishna. You know, do it as a service to Krishna. With full knowledge of Krishna, okay, with whatever knowledge I have, you know, see them as service to Krishna, servants of Krishna, and see myself, see everything else related to it. Of course, it's just not knowledge. I have to have realization. Next, without desire for profit means, of course, I'm not going to get income by taking care of them. It's duty, right? I'm not going to get income. And later on, when they grow up and do something wonderful, hopefully, then, you know, I should not claim fame or, you know, okay, I did this, all those things. And no claim of proprietorship. No, it's not even that, you know, I shouldn't expect the son to grow up and he'll earn some money and give me something. Or, you know, he's my son. No proprietorship. free from lethargy because, okay, now I feel there is nothing for me. So I may say, you know, what is in it for me and I'll not do. Right? That is free from lethargy, you know. Okay, irrespective, I'm not going to get anything. All I'm going to get is purification. Right? But still, that's what is mode of goodness. Mode of goodness, the only motivation is purification. Then that brings us free from lethargy. That's why, you know, free from passion and free from ignorance. That the 2 points. Then fight. Fight means take care of our services. So now this is another thing we could do, you know. So many services we are doing, right? We can reflect, you know, how we can do those same things in this consciousness. Then Prabhupada is giving a blessing that will lead one to the path of liberation. That will actually help us get started in our journey. Okay, you're on time. Okay, any questions or comments?
Let's stop here.